Welcome to My Pandemic Makeover Spectacular, the podcast that follows one woman's sprint to reinvent herself before she has to return to the office on July 6th, 2021.
Hi, I'm Renee Colbert. I'm the one woman sprinting to reinvent herself mentioned in the intro. And this is episode 3. You know what they say? You made it to 3? You gotta take a knee. I'm not going to propose, but I am going to say I love you. And you don't have to say it back yet because it's way too soon in the relationship. You say it when you're ready. But I just need to let you know that's where I'm at. Okay, now you guys know the drill by now. Before we get started, we got to take a peek at Apple Podcasts to see if we got any new review nibbles. And we do. We got one. This week is from Sweetheart 2020. 5 stars. Title, thank you for this show. 3 exclamation points. Review, what a gift to us all. Well now, Sweetheart 2020, I think it might be you who is the gift. And if you are feeling like you want to rate, review, and subscribe, you know I'd appreciate it. Or if you're like, you know what, I'm not really a reviewing type, but what I love to do is tell people about a show via word of mouth or Instagram story. I will gladly accept that as well. I am at Renee Colbert _. All right, let's get into it. This week is pillar number 3, helping, aka stop being an asshole, with an emphasis on the stop part. A pause, if you will, with meditation.
Ma'am, are you trying to host the Goop podcast? Or what's happening here?
Yeah, that's a very fair question, podcast quality control, and I appreciate you checking. Meditation sure seems like something that would still help me, not other people. But today's guest will gently theorize that if I learn how to meditate, it'll make me less stressed, and that will help 50% of my interactions with the world. And then if you listen to me learn to meditate, and you, I don't know, start to do it yourself, then that'll help 50% of your interactions with the world. And if we all start supporting organizations that can help kids learn to meditate, which I will tell you about at the end of this show, that'll help 50% of their interactions, which will make the future better. And ta-da, look at us. We did it. We healed the world.
We did it. We did it. We did it. Yay!
Dumb. I think you get what I'm doing here, though, right? Down the road, of course, we're going to have episodes that are going to have actionable steps to specific problems. But I feel like this first one has to be sort of a put your own air mask on first, fill the tank before you can drive, charge your battery so that you can fight type of a thing. Two main reasons to just skip this episode entirely. Number one, you already know how to meditate. Number two, you've tried it and it doesn't work. I am also in that category. Or I guess it does work, I just don't do it consistently. And the great thing about today's guest is that she's going to teach us micro meditations, like under a minute. So if you already know how to meditate, you only have to roll your eyes and say, I know, for just a little bit. And if you tried it and it's never worked before, you only have to try for a little bit. See? Everybody wins. Plus, I got the best / funniest meditation coach in the biz, so you're going to be entertained no matter what. Okay, you ready for it? All right, please give a warm welcome to Laura House.
I'm Laura House. I'm a comedian. I'm a TV writer. I've written for shows like Mom and Samantha Who and some good stuff. And I am also a meditation teacher because I found all that really stressful. So I got into meditation and then I ended up taking a class and another class and another class. And I became like a real, like I went to India, like I did the whole thing. So I teach meditation. I love to pass it along. It's what I do.
Now, what's funny about this is that I know Laura because we're on the same podcast network for another show that I host. Quick sidebar.
Shout out to Maximum Fun Network. We love you.
Laura hosts a show over there called Tiny Victories, which celebrates small victories during this time. She also hosts a podcast called Will You Med With Me, wherein she coaches you through a meditation in every episode. So I knew Laura was a super good person, a successful TV writer, and funny as fuck. I did not know about her comedy album, Mouth Punch, which I listened to this morning, and I made a fool out of myself LOLing around the neighborhood as I walked the dog. She's also Emmy-nominated for BBC's BAFTA-winning show Secret Life of Boys, which she was a showrunner for this year, airs in the UK and Australia. And Forbes named her as, quote, "These five comics should have a Netflix special." Forbes is very correct about this. And now, between you and me, I'm wondering, well, if she's got all that going on, why does she need to mess with meditation?
Well, like a lot of spiritual journeys, I was writing on the George Lopez show.
More on Laura's journey after the break.
Hi, I'm Paul F. Tompkins.
And I'm Janie Hadda Tompkins.
I'm a comedian.
I'm an actress.
And yet, we're married.
And we're quarantined together because of the global pandemic and also because of love.
We started a podcast at the beginning of quarantine called Stay F. Homekins.
It was supposed to be a limited series that we thought would be done by now.
But we're still doing it.
Join us as we catch up and talk about whatever we end up talking about that week.
It's like having a couple friends over to your home.
Friends you can't see or talk back to.
Those kinds of friends.
It's just loose and fun. Let's not overthink it.
Come on. Stay F. Homekins comes out late Friday night or early Saturday morning, depending on where you live in the world.
Wherever you get your podcasts.
Stay safe, stay sane, and stay home.
I'd been a comedian. So, and I'd really wanted to be, and a comedian, it takes so much hustle. And I just kept, you know, it was trying to, this job and this gig and this thing and acting. And I'd been on a show called Austin Stories, and everything happened for a short time. And when I got on the George Lopez show as a writer, it was for the year. And it was the first time I could exhale, I felt, in my career. It was the first time I was like, oh, like I went home at night and I sort of didn't know who I was. Like I didn't know how to relax. Like I had this, it was very clear to me like, oh, I don't know how to be with myself. Does that make sense?
So much sense. Some people turn to making an entire limited podcast series about their search to reinvent / find themselves. In hindsight, meditation would have been way smarter. But, like I talked about before the break, I don't do it consistently. And I think one of the reasons probably is, what if this doesn't work and then I wasted my time? Which, I guess, is a pretty common fear.
When I first started, right before I learned, I had two fears. One, what if it doesn't work at all? It's just another thing I wasted money on. Two, what if it really works? Like, what if I become like a giant weirdo? Like I was like, what if am I going to wear like billowy linen pants and I'm on the beach? Like I was afraid, like, will I not be able to just say, hey, how you doing? Will I have to like touch your heart when
right.
I speak to
right.
you?
Of course.
Am I calling, I call you sister, you know, and like, you're not my sister. Like, don't do that. So those were my fears, that it wouldn't work and also that it would.
Yeah, those are both bad. So why risk it?
The list of what meditation helps with is, I mean, it's 1,000 things, like everything good. For one, it neutralizes stress is one of the things that it does. And stress leads to everything bad. So you really kind of can say, oh, meditation, it everything good, because it's the antidote to stress. Anne Lamott has a great quote that everything works better if you unplug it for a little bit, even you. That's just a nice way to put it.
A 1,000 things, everything good, the antidote to stress, I'll work better afterwards. Why, Laura, why am I not doing this then?
I have had that experience of people are like, oh, I really like meditation. I don't do it, but I really do like it. And part of that is, I'll say, it stress is addictive. It's actually like we're getting chemicals of, I don't know, adrenaline or something. And we often feel like, well, I can't stop. Like the world will, if I stop, the world will stop. My world right. will stop. We often feel like worry means we're helping, and it doesn't.
Worrying does not help. Okay, I'm caught up. Keep going.
Meditation is a simple technique and it puts your body and your mind at rest. That's really all it is. So for of all the meditations that you do, it's a rest technique. When you rest, your body restores itself. So the benefit of it is I sometimes like to look at it opposite. So the opposite way. Normal me without meditation, my brain is on a loop, like, oh shit, 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 right? So meditation gives me an option. Like if I'm in my, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit, and I go, oh, you know what? I can meditate. And I just, you know what? I'm going to make you do it with me right now.
Oh shit. Okay. We're doing this. I didn't think this would happen so fast. I don't have my sprig of lavender. The candles aren't lit, but we're doing this. All right, everybody, fire up your shit wheel so that we can really put this to the test. I will do it too. Things I'm worried about. This podcast is taking me too long to edit. Is the dog happy? Does the dog even like me at all? The world, COVID, am I helping at all? Healthcare, the national division, racism, unhoused neighbors, climate change. Am I a narcissist? Does anyone like me? I hate my rude neighbor. Coworkers suck. What is the point of any of this? And what if they discontinue my favorite coffee? All right, it's going. Do you have yours? Okay. I will rewind the tape so that everyone's ready. Everybody, we got this? All right, look alive. Don't embarrass me.
You know what? I'm going to make you do it with me right now. So We just, and anybody listening, as long as you're not driving, you can do this. So if you just like, just close your eyes. Just close your eyes. Just notice your breath. And you don't have to change your breath. You're not trying to have better breath. You're just like, just, it's already happening. Like, so just notice, just, like, glance in the direction of your breath. And then open your eyes. That's how close it is, right?
That worked. Like, immediately worked.
I love that tiny nano meditation because it's like, oh, wow. Like, you don't have to feel like you're on another planet. You don't feel like you have the answers to everything. You know, it's not an acid trip. It's right. Just like, oh, shit, oh, shit. Oh. And because what did you notice? You just noticed your breath. It's a natural thing. We all have it. Essentially, the simple habit of detouring, oh, shit, into this like calm, noticing the breath. If you make a habit out of that, if you visit this calm, oh, I'm just noticing my breath. If you visit that 5 minutes a day, every day, you build up that muscle, just like you've built up your oh shit muscle. So that, oh, calm, that becomes your default. That's what meditation does for you. That's how it turns you inside out.
Wow. Last week was my heart. This week is my brain. My vital organs are going to be jacked by the end of this thing. Now, you spoke of something so articulately in your podcast, but also just now, where worrying doesn't help. And I feel guilty meditating when the world is on fire.
Oh.
Can you sort of elaborate a little bit more on that? If people are just like, that when people feel that way.
I don't know if you've ever heard of January 6th, 2021, but I had just recorded a meditation podcast and I just posted like, hey, I don't know if anybody needs to meditate, but I just made this. And some people were like, oh, thank you. Like, culturally, okay, a lot of my friends are liberal. It won't surprise you.
Mine too.
And there's a real thing with us that's like I have to be mad. And part of it, there's plenty to be mad about. It's not like, you know, we can take this the other extreme. Oh, you're saying don't get involved. Don't worry about anything. It's like, you don't have to put blinders on. But we also don't have to be mad all the time. You know, like there's diminishing returns. So there's a productive level of like, oh, I'm upset. I'm going to take a positive action. And then there's like, well, I'm just gonna be mad about all the time because that's my identity. I'm anti this thing that's happening. And I can't, like, how can I live with myself if I guess that's like, how can I meditate if the world's on fire?
Then I threw her this brain breaking question. Could it be argued that you could be even more helpful if you meditated?
Without even thinking about it too hard, you can see how you're more helpful.
Yeah, you idiot. This is not an original idea.
It's the putting the oxygen mask on yourself first, right?
Right.
It's the only way you're useful is if you're full and healthy and balanced and happy and at the least neutral. Right. You know, at the least, like, I think a lot of us are in the negative for well-being. We're in, like, we don't get enough sleep and we have too much stress and it's too hard to stay afloat. And it's all that. So even getting to almost, it's like debt, even getting to zero would feel rich, you know, when you're like, oh, truly. If I just had nothing, that would be great. Yes. So I've even thought of it in terms of like meditate, then rise up. Like social justice warriors definitely need meditation. You know, there's a strength in me because I strengthen it and now I can share that.
Now I can share it. Got it. There also is a theory that is chronicled in a 1986 LA Times article titled, "The square root of 1% of the population unified in any way may be the greatest discovery in the history of science." This article hypothesizes that we could heal the world if less than 1% of the population meditated. Now, obviously, I stopped reading after the word square root, but Laura helped me break it down.
Here's a way that's easier for me to wrap my mind around it. If you meditate, right, you're upgrading every encounter you have by 50%.
This is it. This is the thing I was talking about in the intro.
You have upgraded the consciousness of half of all of your interaction. Everyone you, the store, I mean, you don't see anyone now, but back in the day, in the future, like in a relationship, you're a little more patient. You are a little more empathetic. You're a little more compassionate. You're a little more calm. You're a little stronger. You're a little bit more yourself. A little kinder, joy, you know, playful. You're more playful, curious, mischievous, fun, you know. So it's like that makes a huge difference. You know, for every 1,000 people who meditate, they just upgraded all of their interactions, all 1,000 of those people. So if you multiply that out, you go, oh, that is a profound,
I can see effect. That would work. And I can't, you know, sort of qualify, did they meditate before? But I definitely have had the experience of like, all right, I'm going in for a fight. This conversation's going to be rough. Mm. And the recipient on the other end was just like, I hear you. I see you. And I was like, oh, okay. All right. And then it did. And then that fight that I was preparing for was gone just because the other person was like, I just meditated. I'm fine.
So you just fight. You just come after meditators.
Yeah.
Is what I'm hearing is that you're like, I know a lot of meditators and I love to yell at them.
It's so true. Yeah, it's my whole work. I don't exclusively go after meditators, but I will say a very upsetting byproduct of this year has been that I now have these periodical rage pops, which leave me disgusted with myself and also a little bit scared. Scared, the right word? I guess, because it feels out of control that I've never seen myself act like this. I shrieked at a man, a stranger, to pull up his mask after he pet my dog without asking. So a little bit on him, but still, he didn't deserve to get yelled at like that. I fully hung up on a close family member because they didn't align with me politically. And I sent a seething Slack to a coworker at 8:00 in the morning to basically gossip about something that I thought had been mismanaged. Just uncharacteristically angry. And to be fair, I don't think Laura is saying that we should suppress our feelings, that negative emotions are bad. They're not. They're okay. I think meditation is just a tool that you can use to get a hold of them better. And I am pretty sure that had I meditated before all of those rage pops, that those situations would have been handled better and it would have created less strife and conflict, certainly within my world, but in the world at large. Based off this 1% theory. So great, I'm in. For me, I know that if I'm gonna stick with it, I have to start out teeny tiny. So I'm gonna do those little micro meditations throughout the day that we did earlier in the show. Basically just repeating that exact same exercise that Laura taught us. Put my hand on my heart, notice my breath for about a minute or until the oh shit wheel stops. And maybe do that several times a day. But if you listening are ready for more right now, don't worry. I asked Laura, what's the step after the micro meditations?
5-10 minutes a day on most days, you're going to feel a difference. And
yeah.
I think the thing about making it a habit that's important is that, oh, there's even a teacher who says, and I have not read his book, but I love this philosophy, who says, meditate less than you think you can do. You know, we always say, like, do as much as you can. And it's like, he's like, meditate, you know, if you think you can do 5 minutes, do three. And I love that idea because it's like, don't make meditation another diet you right.
Yeah,
feel
where you're pushing yourself as hard as you can. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I interrupted. I wish I hadn't, but I did. Okay, so now we're going to break off into groups. But first, be sure to follow Laura at I'm Laura House. I am Laura House on Twitter and Instagram. Listen to her podcast, Tiny Victories and Will You Med With Me? And her comedy album, Mouth Punch. You got to check it out. It'll make your goddamn day. Okay, we're going to break off into groups. For those that want to meditate now, you're going to go to Miss Laura's class. You'll scoot over from this episode to the bonus episode that was released alongside this episode. Miss Laura was gracious enough to let us drop one of her Will You Med With Me episodes in there. For those that want to hear how you can help future generations learn to meditate, you're going to stay here with me. My group? Hi. Hi. Hands up. Eyes up. Quiet. Whoa, that worked fast. It's almost like you're adults and that was a stupid sound effect. I'm going to donate to mindfulschools.org. If you have the means and you want to donate with me, the website is mindfulschools.org, and then you click the red donate button at the top right. Your support will provide mindfulness programs for under-resourced schools, professional development and support for educators, research-based mindfulness curriculum, and equity and action scholarships for educators. Again, that's mindfulschools.org. Okay. This help pillar will circle back again in a month, but next week is good looks. Is it time for me to totally go gray? Do I join the Instagram Grand Bray sensation? A friend of mine who has successfully become a hashtag silver sister will walk me through it. Special thanks to Paul F. Tompkins for perfectly voicing that intro, Amanda Brooke Perrin for hilariously playing the podcast quality control, and to me for making my very first episode entirely by myself with no panicking text to Alexis Preston. But still, thanks to Alexis for being on call in case I did need help. I'll see you next week.